For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
Being a marketer is no sweat. You just have to manage dozens of channels, launch hundreds of campaigns, score thousands of leads, and okay, fine. It's a lot of sweat. Unless you have HubSpot's AI-powered marketing tools to help you do all that and more. Get started at HubSpot.com/marketers.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Snap, hold, kick on its way. Got the distance, doesn't have the accuracy.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Cousins hit by Harrison Smith as he throws it, and he's intercepted.
Today's guests, from Paramount Plus's Landman, actor John Hamm, College Football Playoff Committee Chair Ward Manuel, plus latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number one of this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We are live on the Roku Sports Channel. This Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, TuneIn, and more. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't you dare go anywhere. There's so much to talk about, soup to nuts. The College Football Playoff Committee, Ward Manuel, my athletic director from the University of Michigan, the College Football Playoff Committee chair. He's going to join us top of hour number three to tell us why the committee did what it did in sending these 12 institutions of higher learning off to try and win the college football championship this year. John Hamm is going to join us in studio. Landman is so awesome on Paramount Plus. You should check it out. It's right here on the Roku portal for those who are interested, and you should be if you are not. Billy Bob Thornton, another friend of ours on this program. He's awesome in it. So much more for us to chat today. Again, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Chris Brockman and I have already recorded Overreaction Monday. It should be up imminently if it already isn't. Because, man, is there tons to overreact to. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman.
Rich.
How are you today?
I'm great, man. What's happening?
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts. Good to
Good
see
morning,
you
Rich.
Over there. And in his corner, the winner of the Juan Soto sweepstakes here on the Rich Eisen Show is New York Metropolitan fanatic, TJ Jefferson. Congratulations, sir. Good
Thank
to see you
guys.
Over there.
You know, to quote Drew McIntyre, I prayed for this to happen. And it did.
It did indeed.
It did. For 2 years, I said this was happening.
And we will talk about it later on this program. But it's congratulations to you right there.
Thank you, sir.
Let's start off with the National Football League, however. And even though there was an insane game up the road in SoFi Stadium that we will be discussing between the Bills and the Rams, we do have to start with the two-time defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs hitting the final four games of their season with yet another pull out from the jaws of defeat, a victory, type victory. Once again,
you got to shrug your shoulders,
the Kansas
right?
City Chiefs come up with that W on Sunday Night Football against a stout, not charging, but hitting you in the mouth, Los Angeles Chargers, Jim Harbaugh coach team with a whole bunch of guys that are not on your fantasy team, giving them all the run for their money. Kansas City Chiefs took a 13-0 lead in this football game. Chiefs were making sure the Chargers weren't going to do a darn thing on Sunday Night Football, except roll over like most Chargers teams, with the exception of a Phillip Rivers one here or there, going into that stadium, with the exception of a Brandon Staley moment. They were making sure that these Chargers were just going to be like the previous ones, which is let Travis Kelce do whatever the hell he wants. Let Mahomes do whatever the hell he wants. And then the Chargers came out in the second half, and man, I've seen this many times before. Jim Harbaugh, that man knows how to make a halftime adjustment or two. And the Chiefs watched the Chargers take the lead while keep hitting the heck out of their quarterback. I mean, they just kept knocking Patrick Mahomes around and kept on smashing on either side of the line of scrimmage. And then the Chargers just did what they've been doing all year long. Making the plays they have to when they have to do it. And yes, getting a little help from their football god friends. Getting a little help from their football god friends because the Chargers took a 17-16 lead thanks to Dicker the Kicker doing his thing. And then, sure enough, this one's for you, Chris. This one's for you. Because you're the leader of their lucky, not really good department here on the Rich Eisen Show.
I don't understand how you could disagree with me.
They are lucky.
This one's for you. This year, there have been 2,137 kickoffs in the National Football League. 2,137 kickoffs in the National Football
League. That seems like a lot.
Only 14 of them did not, for some reason, hit the landing zone in the dynamic kickoff. Only 14 of them did not do so, leading to the opposing team to get to start the football drive of their next possession on their own 40-yard line. Only 14 of them. 14. And only one of those 14 coming into last night occurred in the final 5 minutes of a one-possession game.
Oh, of course, yeah. I guess we got the benefit of that.
And Dicker the Kicker.
Oh, no way. You don't say.
The Chiefs number two of those last night.
Hooray.
After the Chargers took the lead, Dicker the Kicker attempted to, you know, squib it or line drive it or whatever, and instead didn't hit the landing zone, came up short, and the Chiefs, all they have to do is just go, you know, 30 or so yards with Mahomes. That's one of them.
I wonder what's going to happen. Oh, he's going to scramble around and hit Kelsey. Oh,
and
cool.
Then they, sure enough, on that drive, wound up with their third kicker of the year, attempting a game-winning field goal with no timeouts left, mm-hmm. No time left on the clock, just 1 second. And duck hooked that thing right off the left upright. And sometimes when you hit it off the upright, it can bounce forward. It can sometimes even hit the other upright and not go through. This one at the upright went through.
Oh, of course it did. Oh.
And the Chiefs wind up with the win. And they are the holders of this particular statistic. 4 wins this season by 2 points or less. It ties the National Football League record for second most such wins in a season. The Packers had 5 in 1989. The 2012 Eagles and 2001 Jets had 4 such wins in a season. None of them, this just in, made the Super Bowl, let alone won it. Kansas City's now 10-0 in one-possession games in 2024. That's the most such wins in Kansas City history. They've won 15 straight one-possession games, including the playoffs. That's the longest streak in NFL history. Their last one-score loss was on Christmas Day to the Raiders last year, which was their last loss, period, until they lost to the Bills a couple weeks ago. They're 1 of 2 teams all time to be 10-0 or better in one-score games in a season. The other team, were the 2022 Vikings, who got one and done by Daniel Jones in the playoffs. So are they lucky? Or are they just so damn good, it drives you nuts that they're also that lucky?
Good has nothing to do with the ball doinking and then just grazing over the crossbar. Like, that is not good.
I agree.
That is the definition of luck.
Well, sometimes.
What would you call finding Travis Kelce on third down when the entire planet Earth knows they're going to throw the ball?
What do you call that? What do you call the defender missing the tackle?
TJ Jefferson.
The dude missed the tackle.
TJ Jefferson.
What do you mean?
Like, as soon as you get Juan Soto, you're now spotting dimes. You're hitting a target right in the bullseye.
I've been saying this all year about
exactly,
these guys.
Exactly. Like, let me just say this. Let me say this just because Brockman's so riled up right now. Let me just come off the top rope and send him into a tizzy like he's Nick Turturro losing Juan Soto to the Mets.
That's just unhealthy.
Dropping bows like Dusty
I'm worried
Rhodes.
About Nick,
is that what you're
by
saying?
The way. I'm worried okay. about Nick. That's unhealthy.
Nick only grabbed, he only grabbed a baseball bat when doing that.
And he threw it at his house.
He threw
the bat at his house.
Well, let me get you like that. You know why Chris is really upset right now about this whole subject matter?
Or you're going to sound like the YouTube commenters, Rich. Be careful.
I mean, I have a feeling. I know, but I'm going to let you paint this picture.
Who was the last team to win games like this over and over and over again? Who was the last team to have 9 straight division championships? Who was the last team to have a quarterback that every single announcer absolutely drooled all over and was accused of wanting to marry.
You are misremembering.
Talk about
this era.
Who had a team that 1,000,000% kept winning and started driving everybody nuts because they kept on winning? Mm-hmm. Who had the team that constantly, every time you thought they had them, were situationally brilliant in coming up with the win, because all they needed to do, despite the ups and downs of a game, even with tons of downs, all they had to do was just come up with that one first down. Like, say, when the whole world knew their generationally brilliant quarterback, who everyone was drooling all over, was going to hit their generationally brilliant tight end, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame wearing number 87. Who did that? All the time. Over and over and over and over again. And the only difference between this team and those Patriots was the fact that the quarterback and the coach weren't on TV all the time saying the word Bundle Rooski. That's the only difference right now. That's it. Because they are the current iteration of the New England Patriots. And the only difference as well, I should say, is that we're just now beginning to get the Chiefs fatigue, the Chiefs hate.
Oh, it started
that
last
the Patriots
year.
Got that the Patriots got. Well, year. With Taylor Swift, put it in a different world and orbit.
Yeah, and that's a huge difference. Like the Patriots weren't shoved down your throat like the Chiefs are the last year and a half.
They keep on winning, and I don't see any pictures in the standings. The only thing I see in the standings is they're now 2 clear of the Buffalo Bills. And now they are essentially, with 4 weeks to go, and they are now entering the stretch that I was pointing out the minute the schedule came out for the Chiefs, Ravens, Steelers, and Texans, because those are the 4 teams that must deal with the Sunday, Saturday, Wednesday crucible of playing on Christmas. They've got 2 short weeks coming up in a row, and they enter it 12-1. With a 2-game lead in conference. At Cleveland next, home for Houston, which is a shadow of its 2023 self. And then they're at Pittsburgh for a big game that, by the way, could wind up helping the Bills more than anything else.
That's it.
Because they could be 2 clear and they could lose that and still be in front of the Bills and help the Bills out, be the 2 seed, if that's possible. And then there's a big one at Denver that might be big for Denver, depending on how the Colts and Denver play each other coming up and how the Dolphins potentially keep on winning. Say what you will. Lucky. They got a ball bounce off of Aiden O'Connell's chest.
Wait, so are you saying they're not lucky?
Oh, I'm saying they're lucky.
They're okay. Definitely
but
lucky.
But I'm also saying, sir, sure, but to use the too. Branch Rickey phrase.
Well, it just seems like you've been pushing back on the luck thing for weeks.
It is the residue of design. That's what I'm saying.
But the luck runs out at some point.
Well, or it won't, because they'll need it to get through. Or they will, in fact, be in the playoffs at home. You now need to come to them, proving that maybe last year was the time to get them most, not this year. Not this year. I'm not taking the cheese. That's all I'm saying. I wasn't going to take the cheese. I chose the Chiefs to win the three-peat beginning of the season. And all I know is I see a team that's too clear of the arguably best other team closest to them in the AFC because that's the team that's beaten them. They're too clear of them with four to play. And that team that they're now too clear of has got to play the Lions next, who I think the Chiefs are going to wind up playing in the Super Bowl. They are lucky, sir. There's no question about it. There's no question about it that without that luck, they might be behind the Bills right now.
Okay,
needing the Lions'
help. Just wanted to hear you say
no, that. But I'm also just pointing out the Patriots were pretty damn lucky, too, from time to time, man.
Yeah,
they were lucky. Not like this. You guys are just misremembering, and it's fine. It's okay.
I'm not misremembering a damn thing. Yeah. I just remember everybody hated the Patriots, but every single time they were on the air, I would hear an announcer talk about how great Tom Brady is. Because guess what?
He was.
He's not as good as Rodgers. He's not as good as Manning. He's too old.
That? Well, we would hear
literally everybody all the time.
No, we did hear that he didn't have the same physical skill set as them.
But the last 10 years of his career.
That's all I'm saying.
Go. Like, you got to take Brady.
Honestly.
I get it. I kind of understand how Brockman feels because that's, as a Cowboys fan, how I felt about the Patriots when they started to become a dynasty.
We are in the midst of a dynastic run.
Yeah.
That's what we're in the midst of. That could get knocked off. Again, the last team to go for a three-peat were his Patriots. The last team to win these many divisions in a row were his Patriots. The last time we saw a coach in a second run at it, do what this coach is doing, were his Patriots. The last time there was a number 87 who was going to the Hall of Fame catching passes when everybody knew it was coming to him and couldn't be stopped were his Patriots.
They're not the same.
The Bucks.
It's not the same.
It's the same thing playing out.
It's not the same.
Well, it's not as successful.
The fatigue is so much more for the Chiefs because of how they're just constantly in our face all the time. I must have missed all those Belichick commercials, Brady ads.
That's why I said the only
Edelman.
It's the only difference. They're everywhere now.
Yeah.
But the only difference is we weren't seeing Brady and Belichick do a Bundle Rooski commercial together.
But it was a different time too.
So cringe.
Cringe.
844-204 Rich number to dial. Let's take a break. When we come back, that Bills Rams game was awesome. It was really just stupendous. We'll talk about the stakes of that and what it means, by the way, for the NFC West, which is suddenly coming on strong. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Call us 844-204 Rich. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle? You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. As many of you clearly know, I love going to watch football live. There's nothing like it, whether it's college football or professional football. There's nothing quite like the excitement of being in the stadium. And Game Time tickets and Game Time picks through Game Time is exactly your way and your gateway to getting the seat that you want and the experience that you'll never forget. Game Time Picks is a new curation feature that filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't waste a single second searching through thousands of tickets. The all-in pricing feature, that's my favorite. You get to see your total upfront, no surprise fees at checkout. With Game Time, you'll always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork right out of buying tickets right now with Game Time. Download the Game Time app. Create an account. Use my code of Eisen for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account. Redeem my code EISEN. Boom, $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. Back here on the program, everybody. I'll ask this question before the radio audience returns, so it's not the full complement of audience. Although, you know, you can make an argument that our biggest audience is right here on the Roku channel.
Yes.
Did either of you two go to SoFi?
No, because I actually was working, but I was going to go after, but I got stuck till 4:30, right. So I didn't get.
And you were unable to make and attend yesterday as well, Christopher?
Yeah, I was unable to make it.
Got it.
I wanted to go, though. That was a
so
good game.
Did either of you give your tickets to Mike Hoskins or Liz Wald of the Rich Eisen Show staff?
No,
they're diehard Bills fans.
Thing.
No, Bill's they had previous arrangements.
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't need our tickets.
Okay. I offered them to Mike Hoskins and Liz. Both of them.
Okay.
I will say mine did not sell, so I did not sell mine at all.
They were empty?
I did not sell my seats at all.
5 minutes before I sold mine.
So they were two empty seats?
Two empty seats.
Yesterday?
There was no
mine were
but there were
five
no,
minutes before.
There were no Bills fans sitting in my seats.
Okay.
So mine had, I don't know who bought them, but 5 minutes before the game.
I can make a guess that it wasn't just somebody from Reseda.
You have no idea. Mike,
who wanted, to let everybody know whose house it was.
You got a vet.
Actually, I think the person next to me texted me and said, thanks, you put Rams fans next to me. I know the people next to me.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm kidding.
That's about to say. Was that a lie?
That was totally a lie. I'll admit it.
Right.
But it took, they it's were Mike. Smarter than
Look
the other
Look at you in your
team.
Mets hat over there. Look at you in your Mets hat over there.
Just still got to get past the Dodgers.
Feeling real good.
Oh, you know? Well, I mean,
they got to get past the Dodgers.
Well, how's that not the NLCS over here now?
Sign up right now. That's it.
Ooh, I'll bet it's not the NLCS next year.
Oh,
save it. We're gonna go deep. We're gonna go. We're going at the end of this. At the end of this hour.
You're gonna give me the.
We're gonna go deep into
the.
We're gonna go deep. We're gonna go deep into the soda conversation. Deep.
Give me the field. Take the field.
Deep into the shag.
This guy over there. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. What a game in SoFi Stadium yesterday. So much fun. 44-42, 86 combined points. It is the most combined points all season long, but it was a record. An all-time NFL record for most in any game in the history of the NFL in which the teams not only combined for that many points, but also a grand total of zero turnovers.
Oof.
No turnovers. All it was Josh Allen coming at you and scoring three times in the air and on the ground.
By land.
Six.
By air. Two of by sea.
And land combined. And
he's a bad man.
He is.
And
so good.
No turnovers.
They're both.
And then when he wasn't doing that, it was Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
Just like the Super Bowl year, finding Cooper Kupp. But unlike the Super Bowl year, there's Kyren Williams and there's Puka Nacua.
Puka Nacua.
Who may just be.
Dude.
The best wide receiver in the National Football League. And that is me saying this a day after Justin Jefferson scored twice and set his own damn record for the fewest games to reach 7,000 receiving yards.
Oof. Oof.
And on a day that Ja'Marr Chase will play on Monday Night Football. But this guy doing what he's doing with Cooper Kupp doing what he's doing, yeah, and Stafford, when upright, allowed to do what he's doing in a Sean McVay offense that just basically lines up in a handful of formations but runs a gajillion plays out of the same damn look. And, you know, when he's calling a timeout on a goal line because Nacua is not set up in a certain way, but the play was ran and the timeout blew up what looked like a jet sweep for Nacua to the right.
Yep.
And they come back and then they run one to the left and score anyway.
That was great.
You know what I mean?
The other way.
Yep.
Oh.
I loved it.
Oh. So Puka goes one way and then he goes the other way and the Bills defense is like, what do you want from me? Honestly.
What?
Watching that game was, you know, unfortunately, for me, it was my cardio for Sunday.
Yeah, it was for everybody.
Unreal. Watching that football game. And, man, let's just spend a second on Josh Allen. I called him the Mandalorian quarterback years ago when the Mandalorian was the first hot thing. And Allen was showing an ability to wear people out, like rip your heart out and show it to you pumping, and unable to be gotten off the field when you need him off the field, and refusing to end a play, but doing something risky and potentially silly, but just his ability to just fly around and extend a play and beat you with his arm or his legs was becoming unicorn-like. And then this season happens. And this is a season in which, you know, we've been called out for it, and I apologize for it from this chair the other day, that the Bills had lost so many people, too many people, to be considered a viable candidate to win their division for a fifth straight year. And finally, just merely having Josh Allen wouldn't be enough. And sure enough, they clinched the division for a fifth straight time with 5 weeks to go. And he is coming into this week the front runner at quarterback for the MVP because Saquon is doing remarkable things, including on the very field that we saw Allen have a record day yesterday. A record day yesterday. The first player in the history of the National Football League with three or more passing touchdowns or three or more rushing touchdowns in a regular season game. We've never seen that. He did it in a regular season game because Otto Graham did it in the 54 NFL championship game. Can you imagine that? If Josh Allen does what is fortunate enough to get to the Super Bowl and do that this year in the Super Bowl, I mean, the 54 NFL championship game, people might have been watching I Love Lucy instead. I don't know what was going on back then. But that set a new career high for him. 342 in the air, 82 on the ground, three touchdowns passing, three touchdowns rushing. My apologies, pouring one out for those who went against him in fantasy in a do-or-die contest yesterday. Or if you had him, congratulations. Tu salud. Eighth player all-time to be responsible for six or more touchdowns in a loss, though. That's the key. Yes, they did, in fact, lose the game. Because the defense couldn't stop the Rams. And is that cause for concern moving forward? Let's see what happens next week when they play, the Lions. We'll see what happens when they take on the Lions next week. That's a 1-2 punch of looking at it. Last time they took a 1-2 punch, they lost two in a row on the road at Baltimore, at Houston, wound up winning seven in a row after that. So even if they lose next week at Detroit and people are all flipping out because they're going to have to go through Arrowhead, which I think this loss kind of sealed anyway because the Chiefs went ahead and won it, there's some get right for them. Two against New England wrapped around a Jets team that, yada, yada, yada. They're not going to win that game in Buffalo. No. So, And then the thing that, you know, I would definitely be a little concerned about as well, maybe he'll learn from it as if he needs to learn from it because he's been a head coach of this team, you know, for years. And but I did not like the way Sean McDermott handled the end of that game. I thought when they got down to the goal line and they tried to push Josh Allen through, they were running the risk of having to call a timeout. There was a minute plus to go. If they just had Josh Allen throw it in a couple of times, they would have been able to use all three timeouts to play defense and then have a short field for Josh Allen. And I know this is wrong to say. All you need is 13 seconds to get yourself in a game-winning field goal position, as Bills fans unfortunately know. I'm sorry. I guess I could have made my point without bringing that up. But the bottom line is this. I did not like the way that he made those decisions at the end of the game. And Tom Brady was on it, man.
Yeah.
I know for those who, you know, might not have been watching, but Brady had a terrific game at the mic yesterday. He was on it basically saying the minute that he went for the tush push, you know, he's like, you're now going to have to go onside to win this game.
Yep.
And that's what ended up happening. The Rams recovered the onside kick, and that was all she wrote. And the Bills lose a game in which Josh Allen did what he did. After the game, Josh Allen was asked about his effort in a loss.
Does it feel strange to be able to throw for three TDs and run for three and you still can't get the W from the offensive standpoint?
Got to make one more play than they do, however it may be. So, again, it's a total team loss, three phases. We feel like we didn't play up to our standard. It starts with me.
Yeah, I mean, the first team in the Super Bowl era to lose despite scoring six touchdowns and not turning the ball over, yesterday's Buffalo Bills. Going into that game in SoFi, such teams in the Super Bowl era were 245-0. They are now 247-1. Six also touchdowns and no turnovers in week 14. The Rams were one of the teams to get the win. That's how crazy that game was. Crazy. The other team to get the win to make it 257-1 were the Minnesota Vikings and Sam Darnold, who we'll be talking about later, as they vanquished Kirk Cousins in a deluge on Sunday. It's the first loss in Bills franchise history when they've scored 40 or more points. That's how wild it was on Sunday. Headline for the Bills, take a breath. It was a breathtaking performance from your quarterback. He is, I believe, based on, again, I still think Saquon can somehow come up with it. But Josh Allen is doing things we've never seen before, and he's doing it with less than he's had before. Certainly a name value, with all due respect to Mac Hollins, who did score a touchdown. I'm just saying. Allen, I think, is the MVP of this season right now, going into the rest of week 14 tonight on Monday Night Football and week 15. And certainly if he beats the Lions, I think he can clinch it. How does that sound? Do you guys agree with that assessment?
Yeah, I think as long as he doesn't have like a four interception game or something against Detroit, it's his to lose.
Mr. Met?
Haven't we been kind of dropping people out of the MVP?
We dropped everybody out except Allen and Saquon.
When they lose. I love Josh, so I'm just saying, but like it just seems like that's what we've been doing every week. You lose and then you...
Yeah, but they didn't lose because of him.
Granted, but there's never been a caveat that I can remember. We just like, oh, he lost, so...
Well, he played that game yesterday, and his odds got better.
Really?
So
I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah. I mean, he balled out. I'm just pointing that out, that that's normally what's been going on all season.
Well, I mean, if...
But that, I mean, six touchdowns, that's an MVP performance without question.
So, and you just got to wonder if Sirianni's going to tell Kellen Moore, let's not tush-push it a couple times. Let's get Saquon's stats padded. And then deal with A.J. Brown afterwards. We'll talk about that later on.
A.J. Brown, not happy.
Well, that just means Devonta Smith won't get another ball the rest of the year. Remember what happened last year?
Well, yeah, let's
talk. That's happened to me in fantasy, okay.
Let's turn the page now to the NFC West and the Rams' performance and what this means. As you know, when we conducted the playoffs or what segment 2 weeks ago, Wednesday before Thanksgiving, when you gave me the names of seven NFC teams, and I chose for three spots, and I chose the Rams to win the West.
You did, yeah.
I chose the Rams to win the West, and by looking at their final six games, I had them losing this one and then winning out, and they win this one. So I'm feeling really good about my opinion, even though the Seahawks had a really impressive game with Kenneth Walker the third out. They uncorked some Charbonnet and served it up in heaping glasses in Arizona. And the 49ers did the damn thing, if you will, the bang thing on the Chicago Bears. But the Rams looking like this, they looked like their Super Bowl season on offense. Now, they do have some pass rushers. They can really put the heat on people, man. Jared Verse, I believe, despite how well the corners are playing, secondary members of the rookie class in Philadelphia are playing, I think Jared Verse is the defensive rookie of the year. I just love the way he plays, and he is really friggin' good. But if that rush doesn't get home, I'm concerned about the back end of the Rams defense, but not concerned about that if they're going to put up 40 like this. Stafford, 23 of 30 for 320, two passing touchdowns, and he's got 10 touchdowns and no picks over his last four starts, and they're 10-1 in December since McVay and Les Snead brought Stafford to Los Angeles from Detroit. This is Stafford time in Los Angeles, and we're seeing it. And many of those wins in December, and certainly the Super Bowl year that I'm talking about, did not feature a guy who's featured now because he was on the campus at BYU at the time. Puka Nacua is a revelation. As I mentioned moments ago, is he the best receiver in the NFL? Bro, ladies, out there. Oh. I mean, I'm saying bro to you guys in the studio, obviously, but you know what I'm saying. You got to make the case. He's up there.
He's on the list.
12 catches, 162 yards, one score, and he had a score on the ground. In the history of the NFL, here's the list of players to have 12 or more receptions in a game, 150 or more receiving yards in that game, and score one in the air, one on the ground. The list is Puka Nacua. Wow. This one that we have on the screen here. Hoskins, who's he beaten? Do we know? We can't see the number right here. But this one right here, it was a dime from Stafford, throwing it right over the head of the Bills defender, who was perfectly placed between Nacua and Stafford and the ball, and the ball went over his head, and with Nacua in his back, Christian Benford, okay, and with Nacua having only, you know, a foot of real estate to get his feet down while also catching the ball over his head and holding on to it going down to the ground. That's one of the greatest catches I've ever seen. I'm serious. Come on, guys.
That was sick, dude.
Yeah. And if they can just protect Stafford, they couldn't do it against the Eagles. The Eagles just dominated that line. Which, you know, if they can't control the trench, then Kyron Williams can't go off either. But the Rams are a dangerous team, guys. They're dangerous. They're a dangerous team, and next up for them is San Francisco on a Thursday night before they visit the Jets, and then they're home for Arizona. That is a game I believe will be on a Saturday on NFL Network. I might be calling that game if it happens. And then Seattle. That could be for all the marbles. That could be game final game. That could be the last game of the regular season where the winner moves on as the winner of the West or goes home, depending on how the Commanders hold on to that final seventh spot. Could be that. Because Seattle went into Arizona and just smacked them around. Smacked them around.
Yeah, without Walker, that was really impressive.
And the 49ers made me look like a sage for at least one day. So what's more likely? Who would you take for the next 5 years, Caleb Williams or Brock Purdy? I said Purdy. Well, at least one game made me look good. I said I'd take Purdy and Shanahan over Caleb and fill in the blanks over the next 5 years. Once again, the Bears started slow and the Niners started fast. Purdy had 250 yards passing by halftime. So that's this NFC West is great, but I'm keeping my finger on that Rams chess piece, certainly based off of what we saw yesterday. The Rams, it's their second win all time in which they gave up 40 points. The other one was that 54-51 Goff beating Mahomes Monday nighter in the Coliseum that this game felt like, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it did.
Where two quarterbacks were just going at it, both offenses on tilt. Although that one, if I'm not mistaken, ended with a defensive stop, of all things. This one just ended where Nacua got in the end zone, made it a two-score game. The Bills made it tight again, and then because of the clock management, they went for the onside kick. McDermott said afterwards that it was because they called the timeout because of the fire drill after trying to unpile everybody up and pick them up and get ready. They thought too much time would go off. Oh, and by the way, the last thing is that the reason why they didn't go for the punt block when the Rams were forced to punted away to end the game and take all the time off the clock is because they didn't have enough guys on the field. Apparently, we're just 9 guys on the field. And if the Bills were just going through last season at this time, McDermott would be flat out on the hot seat and people would be going nuts in Western New York. But 10-3 is not what a lot of people expected. And Josh Allen is the MVP going into week 15. And so things are kind of more hunky-dory there, even though they're now 2 behind the Chiefs. And the Rams, I think, are going to win the West. But we'll see. We will see. You are your family's biggest supporter, so make sure they're protected today with affordable online life insurance through Ethos. Up to $2 million of same-day term life insurance coverage in as little as 10 minutes for as little as $2 a day. It's 100% online, and there's no med exams, only a few online health questions. The mortgage, kids' education, and other costs could be all covered through Ethos. Straightforward protection for the people who matter most. Get a free quote at tryethos.com. That's TryEthos.com. We come back, phone calls, and yes, Chris, we can no longer avoid the subject matter.
Do we have to?
We lost Soto and TJ gained him.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify. With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and way more sales happen. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skins uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood1 to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/Westwood1.
This episode is brought to you by NFL Sunday Ticket on YouTube TV. There's a lot to be thankful for this season. For one, I'm thankful you can get NFL Sunday Ticket on YouTube TV right now for only $209. It's exactly what you need as we head right into the playoffs. You can invite your friends over. Maybe you have a multi-view. You could have 4 different games, one for you, one each for the 3 other friends you invite. You can change the games around. As soon as a game, the outcome becomes pretty certain, dump that game, but in another one. I've become the multi-view master. The moment one of the games is losing steam, I'm ready to move right in and move it for another one. Build your own multi-view. One of my favorite words. Thank yourself this holiday season. Get NFL Sunday Ticket for the rest of the NFL regular season for just $209. Sign up now at youtube.com/BS. Terms and embargoes apply. Device and content restrictions apply. No cancellations.
Where is Don Draper right now, do you think?
6 feet under.
You think so?
Easily. Come on. He'd be in his 80s, and there ain't no way that guy's getting to his 80s without a massive lifestyle shift. Which maybe he did at the end at the end of the show, but I don't think that stuck. I don't think that Zen moment of understanding of anything really stuck. It's that leopard is not changing his spots.
Yeah, because that gave you the impression that maybe he was about to.
Yeah,
as he's
maybe
at the ashram at the very end there.
I think it was more about he just had a really good idea for a commercial.
And so that he did come up with one of the, I thought that was a neat ending.
I did too. I thought it was very poetic and a very nice way to end the show, and also very cryptic, which also sort of serves, sticks in the realm of the show's vocabulary anyway. So it was very cool. I liked it, and I loved being that guy for as long as I got to do it.
Right. I mean, because it was born out of the Sopranos era.
Yes.
And it was a very Sopranos in a way type.
Anti-hero kind of situation, and also, yeah, very kind of what does it all mean kind of situation, and that's great. It's nice to be able to talk about a show that you like and not have it sort of be spoon-fed to you.
Well, I'm sad to hear that you don't think Don Draper could have somehow had some sort of an epiphany,
gotten his
act together, gotten off the sauce.
I don't know.
Lived into his 80s.
I don't know. I hope so. And look, I root for the best in everyone, but I don't know about this guy. He was pretty damaged.
Right. And John Hamm is in our green room right now, getting ready to come out middle of next hour to talk about Landman, which we are all watching and loving.
It's so good.
It is.
It's so good.
It is right here on Roku Portal. You can watch it on Paramount Plus, but not right now because John's about to come out here. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. All right, all rise. Turzo in Iowa is in the house. What's up, Turzo? Good to see you again or chat with you.
What's up, Rich? What's up, guys? Hey, man. TJ, big win, bro. I'm pretty shocked that he decided to sign with the Mets. I know
I'm not Turzo.
Deep pockets in that front office, but I was betting either Yankees or Red Sox, so... That was a shift for me.
Turzo, you listen to this show every day. I've been telling you this for 2 years. I've told you what was going to happen, bro.
Turzo, don't feed the animals. What else you want to talk about here?
Don't be a hater.
I know. That's one of my main roles. Don't feed the wildlife, you know. It was a fun day watching Purdy play yesterday, even though it was kind of against the Lonely Bears. Still kind of like what I've been saying. I don't necessarily know if I want to see us, you know, win out because – this Thursday is going to be tough against the Rams. That offense looked dynamic yesterday, and I don't know if we can stop them. And then we still have to play the Lions. Purdy looks good. Defense looked better. I just don't know if we're in that position, and I kind of want draft capital. I hate to say it.
Turzo, thanks for the call. Greatly appreciate it. Thank you. Here's my 2 cents. We'll talk Soto in a second. The Bears-Niners game. The Bears looked terrible defensively, right? I mean... Yep. And no surprise. No surprise at all, because when you fired Eberflus, you fired the defensive coordinator and play caller.
Right.
Same thing with the Jets, kind of.
Well, no. Well,
not that Robert Saleh wasn't calling the plays, but he was kind of the heart and soul of the D.
Well, what you did was you took the play caller and now you gave him more to do in the game. That's what the Jets did. And that's what you also just did with your play caller on offense. Now he's got more to do. And defensively, they were miscommunicating. They just, like, no surprise.
And Thomas Brown, his first game, not in the booth. He's calling plays from the sideline.
And he's the HC.
Yeah,
he's got a red challenge. He's got the first time in his career, he's had to figure out, where am I putting the challenge flag?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was in his sock. That would have been very Belichickian.
He probably put it in his
There you have it. I mean, like, so I'm not surprised. But, you know, and Caleb started slow again. And then... But he got sacked 7 times. I mean, the line has been suspect all year long. And as for the Niners, you know, they looked better defensively. Also, it helps to have Hufanga back. Mm. He returned. Nick Bosa might be back for Thursday. Who knows if Dre Greenlaw's around the corner? Yeah, so on and so forth, which is why the Niners are a dangerous team. All they got to do is win their division. And the problem is they are under 500, and they're also under 500 in division, having lost to the Rams and the Cardinals and the Seahawks. That's a problem. But if they win out, you never know, because they face the Rams again, and they split with the Seahawks. And if they split with the Rams and the Cardinals, and that game against Detroit on a Monday night might be something. But guess who's going to be there? Kyle Shanahan. And Florio came on the show and just uncorked that one, saying maybe the Bears should call the Niners for Shanahan. And there's been pushback.
That's all anyone was talking about.
There's been pushback. John Lynch called it comical. And by the way, Shanahan got asked about it in his press conference. Hit it.
I mean, I don't know why they come out, but like, that's, I mean, I don't want to be any place in the world more than here. And my family feels just as strong, if not a lot stronger. So, you know, I hope you guys are going to have to kick me out of here. So there's no way I'm making that decision.
He's not going anywhere, guys. Even he's not going absolutely, he's going nowhere at all. And what he could do is maybe go to the playoffs. Man, that game, again, they got the Rams on a short week. They're at Miami, home for Detroit, at Arizona. They're going to be interesting to watch. Mm. Now what, they're going to be down, maybe down to their fourth string running back, right? Because Garendo left with a foot injury?
Yeah.
Cooper was like all excited. He spent $68 in the waiver wire to get Isaac Garendo.
So did we.
He's getting, he got him to the playoffs.
He was a beast.
I know, and then he got hurt.
Makes you wonder if it's a system and not the player.
Oh, this guy over there. By the way, like father, like son. Even Terrell Davis, people were wondering, is he part of the system that Mike Anderson and Orlandis Gary ran for 1,000 yards and yada, yada, yada.
I mean, there's a lot of evidence.
Hey, that boy, stop it. Well, listen, what it does is it allows runners to be successful, and those who are particularly, talented to become Hall of Famers.
Isaac Garendo.
Okay, good one. Nicholas here in Los Angeles, California. What's up, Nicholas?
Hey, Rich, how you doing?
What's going on?
Well, I was also calling to talk about the Bears, but I kind of wanted to pull it back to the entire dire strait of being a Chicago sports fan.
Oh, Nicholas. Whoa. Look who you're talking to here. I just lost Soto to that Stunot over there in the corner.
What was about
and the Jets. Schmuck is a word I was going to say, but I tried to. I held up.
I held up. That's fine.
Okay. Come on. The Jets and the Giants. Nicholas, please. Stop. Please. Well, come on.
I will say the one fortunate thing for me.
They're looking for quarterbacks in New York. You're not looking for a quarterback. You're looking for a coach.
I'm not looking for a quarterback, but like every single one of the teams that I root for, except for the Bulls, have fired their head coach in the last year and change. And I would not be surprised if Billy Donovan is on the chopping block after another underwhelming Bulls season where they barely make the play-in and get crushed in that first play-in game. If Billy Donovan is fired, do I get like a free sandwich or something?
No,
like,
this isn't, by the way, this is
fire.
Nicholas,
fire
this is a
coach this year.
This isn't like you missed, Nicholas, this isn't like you missed two free throws in the fourth quarter so everybody gets free chicken, okay? Crucial question here because we're up at the end of the hour. Cubs or White Sox?
Oh, I'm a Cubs fan.
Okay, so then, no. If you were a White Sox,
I would have that 2016 World Series dearly with my life right
okay.
now.
Okay.
Like, we're approaching a decade on that. It's the last time I feel like that as a Chicago sports fan that I've had a hope. And I think the thing about the Bears, the last thing I'll say is that it's just funny because, like, even watching that dire Bears game, and, you know, and we had that really cool Rome Adunze touchdown in the second half that was like, you know, there's still the flashes. But somehow this is the team that I have to hold out hope for most. Because even, like, the Cubs, like, can barely compete in their own division, much less compete against the Mets now and the Dodgers and the Padres. Like, I have to hope that the Bears don't make a mockery of this next coaching search. And I've already concocted the worst case scenarios of like what coaches do I not want.
Oh my God.
I've watched the 2006 NFC Championship game last night.
This guy, Nicholas,
make myself feel something.
Nicholas, no. What he needs to do is put him on hold. Thank you, Nicholas.
I'm going to put him on hold.
So he and Adam can have a therapy session.
Adam, you can pick it up. He's back on hold.
He and Adam Chuck Winard calls to me. Have a little therapy. Be his Dr. Melfi.
Hug it out.
You know what I mean?
Hug it out.
My God, I watched the 2006 NFC Championship game. Oh, my God.
To feel something.
Jeez.
Sexy Rexy.
Unbelievable. John Hamm's coming up in a second. Oh, my God.
They're speaking right now.
Are they really? They're talking each other out.
They're talking it up right now.
You want to hug it out?
Hey, remember when we watched Rex Grossman? That was awesome.
Yeah. How about this? Do you remember when Michael Jordan kicked everyone's ass for a long time?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm of a certain age where I just can't hear it from a Chicago fan. Yeah, he might not be old enough, though. Whatever. Who knows?
They got cups, too. Yeah.
John Amp's coming out.
Yeah, the Blackhawks were so good.
Exactly.
You know.
What are we talking
also
about?
Also, too, you know, I'll just say this. If anybody's wondering, are you guys wondering what this is right over here? You see this right here?
Yeah, what happened, Rich? What'd you do?
Sarah did a good job. I can't tell
you. She did. She did a great job. Great job.
There's something there.
Well, you know what this is?
Was that Nick Turturro's bat hit you in the forehead?
No.
It made it across.
No, I don't live close enough to Nick for his thrown bat and anger of losing Soto to the Mets.
Taylor fired a football strike at you.
No, I don't know. See what it is. I'm you know, of a certain age. I don't know what it is. I'm waking up with, like, I don't remember scratching myself. I'm like, where did I get that? Oh, and why does it look worse every day?
Oh, no.
Honestly. I don't remember hitting myself. I don't remember getting the scratch. I don't remember doing anything. And now I'm getting those.
Oh, Rich.
Those moments.
Uh-oh.
Rich. Yeah. Someone here from Nicholas. Nicholas, I'm so sorry. Your Bears got waxed.
Uh-oh.
You know what I mean? I got a tough two shot coming up here for the next hour. Everybody back off. You know, John Hamm's here.
Nick is down bad, though. He really is.
That's coming up.
Yeah.
My World with Jeff Jarrett takes wrestling fans behind the scenes, along with King of the Mountain, Conrad Thompson.
I wanted to ask you about what you know, if anything, on the new WWE ID program, where they're apparently going to be working with some independent wrestlers.
My encouragement to any independent wrestler out there, build your value and then understand your value, and then you create your own leverage. There's no substitute for hard work and getting over.
My World with Jeff Jarrett, wherever you listen.